When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast. All right,
Seth, I'm curious. You and I have not talked about this poll that you put up yesterday yet. We've texted, may have texted a little bit about it. But you put up this poll yesterday and you said this. I'm still 100% on board with D'Amico Ryans, but I'd like to get a rough gauge of where the fan base is as a whole. What is your confidence level in D'Amico Ryans as a head coach right now? And the three choices are, my belief is unwavering, he needs more time, he's on thin ice. Those are the three choices.
And I asked this because I started, you never know on social media, you start seeing all these kind of, I started seeing more tweets and posts about questioning D'Amico Ryans. And then you get a few that are really aggressively just saying like, ah, oh, D'Amico's no good. And then all of a sudden it becomes a talking point. People are arguing about whether people are abandoning D'Amico too soon and why and all of this. And I thought, well, wait a second though. Like what's the actual, like how many people actually are out on D'Amico?
Yes,
at this
is
point?
Is this a case, I'm glad you put this up. Is this a case of people that are arguing over an opinion that 1.3% of the public has right now?
Yeah, because those tweets, the rusty hinge gets the most of the attention.
Yeah,
and so you see these tweets quote tweeted and everything. So yeah, I asked that question, and I'll admit I primed the pump a little bit by saying I'm still 100% on board with D'Amico.
I'm glad you did that though, because as somebody who puts up a lot of polls, and we're going to get to the results here. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we're going to get to the results here. But I'm glad you did that, because sometimes people think because you put up a poll that you hold a certain opinion.
Yeah, they assume that you disagree with whatever their opinion is.
Correct.
Yeah, like they take the lowest common denominator on there, and like if I put that poll up without prefacing it that way, they think that I'm like just torching D'Amico or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it for all of them, but I think this is an appropriate one to do it because of what D'Amico, you know, what this team, you know, this team and D'Amico and everything else. Yeah, go ahead.
But having said that, I do prime the pump there. It's a celebrity endorsement for D'Amico right there before they answer the poll.
Technically, it is.
You know?
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's like saying 99% of doctors agree. Do you agree? Yeah.
Do you think D'Amico Ryans approves this message?
Yeah, right. But long story short, and you know, like this is very unscientific,
right.
And yet, okay, my belief is unwavering, and he needs more time. Got 96.3% of the votes.
Yep.
So only 3.7% of the people out of 1,600 votes think he's on thin ice.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like there's a certain percentage of my Twitter followers who aren't Texans fans, all that. It's a non-factor.
Yeah.
I don't think there is any sentiment within the fan base that D'Amico's not the guy. Now, I think there's plenty that think, okay, well, but he's got to fire his buddy and that's going to be a true test or what have you. But firing Bobby Slowick, whatever your opinion is, I sense very little pessimism about D'Amico Ryans as a head coach.
Yeah.
And yet, I fear that it's starting to become a talking point because of a few fringe opinions.
Squeaky wheels, man.
Yeah.
Squeaky wheels. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. There are times And again, that's where I have to remind myself, like anybody that's, like the opinions you're talking about, I do feel are a very, very small percentage of the fan base. I do think there, I do think there's a very big chunk of the fan base that is anxious right now, especially, and my contention all along has been, the record is what the record is. I'm happy they're 6-4. That's great. You know, they do they play in way too many close games? Sure they do. Is this something that keeps me up at night? No. What keeps me up at night is C.J. Stroud and the amount of punishment that he is taking, the effect that it's having on him. Those are all the things. Those are the things that have to get fixed. But none of these things are driving me to where I'm out as a Texan fan. Like, that's where, when I see that reaction, and again, I feel this is a very small percentage of the fan base, but where I see people who call themselves Texan fans, and then they say they're out at 6-4 and leading the division because they've got some things to fix, I'm like, man, I feel bad if that's, like, how you fan. I'm not telling you how to fan. I just feel bad for you if this, if some glitches with the team, albeit important glitches, or what drive you out on a team that clearly has had a rapid rebuild here in 2 years. Like, there's days where I feel like we've forgotten how to handle winning football here as a fan base. You know
that there's going to be adversity along the way.
And I'm a little guilty of it myself. I'm not pointing fingers.
No, and I don't think it. You know, go back to New England in the years where they were merely attending but not winning Super Bowls. There was a long stretch of time, including through the fourth, fifth, and sixth Super Bowl victories, where various Patriots fans insisted that Bill Belichick had to go. No, that's it. He's done. It's past his prime. All of that. It's just natural. It's natural that the adversity comes up and you start to worry about it. DeMeco hasn't had the time or to overcome this issue yet, and you don't know how it's going to come out and what it's going to look like. Fixing the offense when you've got a defensive-minded head coach starts to get really nerve-wracking, because this is exactly what you worry about is, okay, well, if you got an offensive-minded coach, it's his offense. I think the biggest thing that's saving DeMeco right now from, like, maybe more people not starting to have serious doubts is that the defense has improved by leaps and bounds.
Defense is good.
And I think the defense is really on the brink of becoming a genuinely really fearsome defense. So that part of it, if you're going to hire a defensive-minded head coach, at the very least, have a good defense. And he's delivered on that. Now it's just a matter of, all right, did you hire the right offensive coordinator? If it turns out that he's not, what are you doing to replace him? Yep. And that's where people have trepidation about DeMeco right now.
Yes, a big Bobby Slowick game, man. You get Nico Collins back, and I think that Nico Collins coming back is probably takes anybody who is a complete anti-Slowick right now is probably going to take Nico Collins coming back. And if the offense looks functional again, they're going to be like, okay, well, yeah, that was with Nico. But I can tell you right now, if the offense still is stuck in mud against this defense, that then it gets really bad for Bobby Slowick. Okay, you got Nico back. You know, and I know people are going to say, well, Stephon Diggs tore his ACL. Okay, that's all well and good. But you get Nico back, and this is largely the offense that you were above average with, or around average to above average with last year, with Joe Mixon at running back instead of Devin Singletary for the most part, you know?
Look at the Bengals game last year with no Nico, but you had Tank Dell and Noah Brown.
That's right.
It was not the issue that it's been without Nico this year.
That's right. And so I think this might be, for Bobby Slowick, this Monday night game might be an only downside game. You know, if they're capable again, then I think the people who are really, really anti-Bobby Slowick right now are going to be like, all right, well, let's see you do it again and again and again and again.
Do they come – if with the return of Nico, they become a top offense, let's just say they become a top offense over the remainder of the season, then it's kind of like arguing about whether Tua Tagovailoa is as good as his stats are. But everything's operating well. Like, do you really matter? Does it really matter? Do we care if Tua could run other systems or not? Does it really matter if the offense is performing well? I think that's where I'd probably end up on the season with all of that. And yet, if they can't establish a genuinely good rushing attack, or at least just competent pass protection, if it's that, man, Nico comes back and the pass protection is still awful, but Nico is masking a lot of it, I think you still got to make really hard decisions about where you're moving forward with Bobby Slowick.
That's
right. And all of this is going to depend on how they finish up in the playoffs.
For sure.
If the offense is awesome, but then it stalls out in the wild card round and you lose that game, it's going to be really, really tough to justify keeping Bobby Slowick.
If there's one number at the end of the year that you're going to ask me how I feel about Bobby Slowick, because you're right, this could become a good offense again. We're in DVOA, they're ninth, and then scoring, they're whatever, and this and this and that and whatever. The number I'm looking at the end of the year is how many times has C.J. Stroud been sacked? How many times has he been hit? Is he getting pounded still?
Yeah, the percentage of time he's under pressure.
Yes, yeah.
That tells an even more complete picture. Just the him being under pressure 50% of the time, having more third and longs than anybody else in the league.
All those things.
Yeah, and where I know some people, I understand that there's criticism of C.J. Stroud in contributing to that situation, and I agree and get that. I understand that. But there is also the way that Bobby Slowick is operating when on second and long and third and long, they continue to try to use this haphazard rushing attack to get into third and manageable, and it blows up in their face and it's third and long.
Yes.
And that's not CJ's fault.
Nope.
You know, not to mention the fact that when they call their screens that are so maddeningly predictable at this point, the defense is just standing there waiting for the screen receiver to catch the ball so they can pummel him with bags of soap.
Yeah.
That's all on Bobby Slowick.
Yep. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot at Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Texter says, what? D'Amico is 16-11 as a first-time head coach taking over a terrible team. How could anybody be out on him at this point? I would say exactly.
Aren't. Yeah, but there's like a narrative being built out there that all of a sudden it's D'Amico versus the world, and it's just...
It's not.
I wanted to be sure that, okay, no, it's a few people. Like, yeah, there's always going to be a few of anything.
Yep. You got a nice response to that too, man. You're approaching 2,000 votes. You still got 2 hours to weigh in on Seth's poll if you would like to, at Seth C. Payne on the X.
Hop up on that poll.
Get up on Seth's poll and vote. Mm-hmm. Be the 1,662nd person to climb on Seth's poll here and vote. Yes. Payne and Pendergast with you. This cut actually came down. I saw it this morning before the show. And this cut, believe it or not, actually makes me concerned about me and Seth both about the game on Monday. It doesn't involve the Cowboys at all, nor does it involve the Texans, and yet it scares me for this game. Here's Sauce Gardner, cornerback for the Jets, talking about some sort of tackling demonstration or presentation that their head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, did in a practice. He was asked about it, and Sauce gets a little chippy about it.
We know how to tackle. We know how to tackle. We got to make the tackles. That's really it, you know. We've been doing it. Simple. We really don't need no presentation. You know, I know where he was coming from when he did it, but us as professional athletes, we got to be able to make tackles, me included for sure.
Okay, so clearly Sauce insulted that the coach would need to present something that's so basic to his job, right?
Right, yeah. We don't need that.
Right.
Like, that's basically, we don't need to improve.
Right.
Like, come on, Sauce Gardner. What the hell are you talking about?
Paint some degree of dysfunction, I would suppose. I think even more dysfunction may be painted by the 31-6 thrashing the Jets took to the Cardinals this past weekend, but all lead back to the same feeling, which is, how the hell did the Texans lose to this team? How the hell did the Texans lose to the team that's doing tackling PowerPoints in team meetings in week 11 of the season? And subsequently, it makes you think like, oh yeah, they're capable of losing to anybody, including the Dallas Cowboys.
I think with Sauce Gardner, the the biggest thing there is, I think that within the Jets locker room, I could see the defense feeling like, man, we were still a good defense when Robert Saleh was the head coach. And if anything, the way I read that is, look, Ulbrich can have presentations and what have you, but we were fine until Robert Saleh got fired.
Right.
And Robert Saleh got fired because he didn't manage a situation that he was not responsible for, the quarterback and offensive coordinator situation.
Yep.
Well, and they fired the one guy who was doing anything good on this team, who was our defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
And that's probably where he's feeling. He shouldn't have handled it the way he did. Sauce Gardner, I saw firsthand versus the Texans, does need some work on his tackling technique. But other than that, It just, yeah, it's more of the dysfunction that the Jets are, and the Texans lost to that team.
Texans lost to that team, and that team is actually probably a better team right now than the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. You know, or maybe the Cowboys are a little bit better. Either way, they're in the same tier. Can't take them lightly, man. Not on the road. Texans not a good road team this year. You know, that'll be the interesting thing to me.
Texans not a good road team.
The three big games they've had, Seth, in terms of defensive completion percentage, the Buffalo game, the Indianapolis game, this past Sunday against Detroit, where they were doing things where announcers are like, wow, these teams are not completing many passes at all. All at home, you know. So we'll see, you know, can they do the same thing to Cooper Rush and the Cowboys on the road?
Well, and the Cowboys have been atrocious at home too.
The Cowboys
are like the 2023 Astros. They can't do anything at home.
That's true.
And it's getting to be a bit of a sore spot for them. So yes, I would love to, instead of like you were with the Jets, where you're like some kind of glimmer of hope that everything will be all right. The Jets had Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have Cooper Rush. Starting for a team that's been really, really bad at home. These games haven't even been close by the fourth quarter. The final scores don't always tell the whole story. If you're a shot in the arm for this Cowboys team, then you've shown me nothing. You've shown me nothing. I will. It's not like one of those situations where, well, no matter how much the Texans win by, I won't read into it because it's just the Cowboys. No, I'll read into it because this is something the Texans haven't shown they're capable of doing. It's just really just pound the crap out of a lesser team and really show dominance. I don't think they were even all that physically dominant versus the Patriots, even though it was a lopsided score. I want to see them be physically dominant versus the Dallas Cowboys.
That game was close at halftime, and that second half lead was built on short fields and a Damian Pierce long touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, like that's
yeah.
that was not a... You're right. That didn't play like a 20-point win. That
Patriots
game.
Well, the Joe Mixon
game.
Run, too, was a big long... But it wasn't like they were consistently hammering them with the run. They broke a couple of big...
Two big runs, and they averaged literally 2 yards a carry on all their other carries that day. Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. All right, the biggest spectacle of the weekend, what I think will be the biggest spectacle, has given us maybe the greatest interview of all time. If you want to hear it, stay tuned. We've got it for you coming up next. But first, Seth has an injury report for you.
The injury report brought to you by Mokarum Injury Lawyers. You know what? One that we didn't highlight early on from the injury report yesterday, which could make a big difference, is Okuda back in practice, full participant. And that's important because Kamari Lassiter is in the concussion protocol. Will Anderson did not practice. Nobody knows exactly what's going on with him or where he is in his recovery. Derek Stingley and Foley Fatakasi were out with a hip and a foot injury, respectively, but probably no reason to be overly concerned with that. And then Stroud pops up with a right hand injury, but a full participant in practice. The most notable one for the Cowboys, really, is that Dak Prescott remains on injured reserve. So the Texans will face Cooper Rush, possibly with a smidgen of Trey Lance. That's your injury report brought to you by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
It's a really good sports weekend, man. It's a really, really good sports weekend coming up. It's not just the NFL on Sunday. There's good college games. We got the spectacle tonight of Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. And I don't know how many people are into that or are going to be watching it. I'll be into it just purely hoping for something that goes viral. I'm not here to watch Sugar Ray Leonard in the Olympics back in 1976 or something like that, you know?
I'm not here for the sweet science, Seth. I'll tell you one thing, Sean. Somebody earlier asked how much we were being paid to promote this fight because we were talking about it.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that's, it's been foisted upon us as Sean and I have both realized as the week has gone on, like, oh, man, yeah, people are really into this. And then you start paying attention. You're like, okay, I'm into this, and now I can't wait. I went the full ride of, like, I didn't even want to know who Jake. This has been a 5-year ordeal of me, like, really not even wanting to know or understand who Jake Paul,
the Paul
and his
brothers,
brother are.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll learn who Jake Paul is, and all right, well, Tyson does. Boy, he does look good. Oh, but he's 58.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But he slapped Jake Paul. And now I'm here for it.
Right.
I'm
ready. Right. Next
I'm ready.
Thing you know, all the things you said you weren't going to do, you've subconsciously done.
It all worked. Tyson slapped Jake Paul yesterday. And even when I read about it, I was like, all right, whatever. It was just like a little slap or something, right? Like, no, he gave him a good slap.
Got him good, man.
He gave him a good slap.
He potatoed him, man. Like, he got it. He got it in there. He was, he hit him pretty tight. For sure. Snug, as they say. So biggest spectacle of the weekend. We'll talk about the gambling angles on this in just a little bit, where the money's coming in, our thoughts on it. But what's making the most rounds right now is an interview that Mike Tyson did with a 13-year-old female reporter named Jazzy.
Yeah.
And this is where I feel like she is appropriately named, man. She has a personality and a charisma that is emblematic of the name Jazzy, I feel. She did a very good job with this. So I don't know how this interview came about. I don't know if she won some sort of contest to be able to interview Mike Tyson, but laying out the visual on this is the two of them. They're not sitting at a desk or anything. This is a stand-up interview in front of a background, and they've each got handheld microphones. And it's only a minute or so long, but Mike Tyson gave one of the greatest answers in the history of legacy questions. Yeah, reporters and questions about legacy. Here we go.
In your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when you're dead? Why do you want somebody? You think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f- cares about me when I'm gone? Or my kids, maybe, or grandkids.
Sure, she's like nodding her head. Sure, sure. God, she did such a great job on that. And I wonder too, like there were certain points there in the first part of that answer where, and actually a more seasoned reporter might have jumped in with the next question. Yeah. Jazzy's 13-year-old Jazzy's incredulousness over the answer might have been her best asset in that interview because he just kept talking.
Well, he kept going deeper and deeper because at first it went in four stages. His one was where he said it's just another word for ego, and
right?
He kind of like, yeah, you're right, yeah, like this is okay. You caring about your legacy and caring about people, like, it's really that's about you, and you got to try to let go of those trappings because what's it all matter in the end? But then he very emphatically in the second go around said, "We're just dead."
Yeah. Dust. He used the word dust.
Yeah, that was. I think the dust was in the second part of it.
Yeah.
And then she said she'd never heard of it. And then he said, "You're dead." He very bluntly said, "You're dead. Nobody wants to think about you." I'm like, you're kind of just, you're really putting a stamp on what you'd said already.
Yeah.
And then the fourth stage was he dropped the F-bomb.
F-bomb,
like,
yep.
In case she wasn't getting it enough, let me put it the way you hear the kids talk on the school bus. Who the bleep cares about you?
Has anybody out there, this is an appeal to the Sports Radio 610 listeners out there, has anybody seen the full version of this interview? Or was this interview, did she just get one question with Mike Tyson? Because I want to watch the rest of this interview. Look, a lot of 13-year-old kids doing an interview with Mike Tyson, that answer would have knocked them for a loop, and they would have been a basket case for the rest of the interview. She handled that exceptionally well, I thought.
She really did. No, and I almost get the sense that because it was a stand-up interview, and it's not quite the format for sitting down and having a Joe Rogan-style conversation about it.
Yep.
I feel like if she were sitting, if they were both sitting in chairs and it was like a 45-minute-long interview, I think she would have sat and asked questions and asked them to explain further. And maybe it would have, it would have opened up her eyes to a way of thinking that she hadn't about life that she hadn't considered before. I think she would have been just fine with it. But it was everything about it, from it starting off being a kid interview,
where he's talking
about the meaninglessness of life and existence, and also dropping an F-bomb. It just wasn't quite conducive to a long-form discussion.
I would love to know. Like, I wonder how coached up she was. Like, hey, lead into your question with it. Because I thought she did a great job of kind of buttering him up going into the question. Like, of all the people you feel like you need to butter up going into a question, Mike Tyson is probably pretty high on that list. The evidence of that answer would seem to indicate he's very high on that list of people.
It made me think of an old Louis C.K. bit where he was talking to his daughter, and he said something. He was talking about the solar system and everything, that eventually the sun would expand and consume everybody, and the Earth would, billions of years from now, the Earth will be no more. And his daughter looked kind of freaked out by it. And he said, "Well, no, but don't know. Everybody, we'll all be dead by then." which, in her face, when she was like 6 or 7 years old, was realizing, coming out of this realization that everybody dies.
Yeah,
like everybody I know and love will one day die.
That's the first she was realizing that.
Yes, and it probably wasn't the best way to introduce that concept to her.
Yeah,
or if at all at that age, you know.
Oh,
so likewise, Tyson was just going ahead and taking the bull by the horn and introducing this young lady to the harsh realities of the life.
Hey, let me ask
and
you
legacies some... and how they're large. Even the greatest of all, like Caesar.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? 10,000 years from now, if there is written history anymore, Caesar's going to be just yet another afterthought in the world. No matter how great you craft your legacy.
Right.
20,000, 30,000 years from now, for sure, nobody's going to care.
No.
Nobody's going to care.
The record books are going to be so crowded, we get 300 more years of the NFL. Who knows? By then, a 5,000-yard season on the ground might be a big deal,
I'd like to see. That would be a good little web series is Tyson babysitting your kids for 6 hours and talking about various life topics, and just get the complete unvarnished perspective of a guy like Mike Tyson.
Would you want the kids to be fed the questions for that, or would you want it to be more organic coming from the kids?
Oh, no, it needs to be organic. Yeah. Needs to be, you know, like, why is the sky blue, stuff like that.
Right.
He's very philosophical. He's very introspective and philosophical.
Obviously,
He's been through a lot in his life.
He has. Hey, let me, as long as you're bringing up age here, the other day, you know, I get my my emails from People Magazine every day. I get like 5 emails a day from People Magazine, you know, because I'm trying to stay in tune with the pop culture out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline for one of them was Quincy Jones. You know, Quincy Jones just passed away last week, famous musician and writer and all these things, producer, Quincy Jones' cause of death revealed at eight. No, Quincy Jones' cause of death at age 91 revealed. So their goal is to get me to click on that, obviously. And I'm like,
he's 91.
At age 91, do I care what the cause of death is? He's old.
Like, I don't really want to hear about it if it was that a nurse poisoned him. You know, if it's something other than like people dying in their 90s.
And there would be an allusion to that in the headline if indeed that were the case. If it were that salacious, we would know about it already.
What was the cause of death?
I didn't click on it. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. No, he's old. What's the cause of it?
Either pneumonia or
his cause of death is age 91.
Or something. Some kind of an infection or whatever it was.
That's my point. It didn't interest me. I don't care. Like, but what is the age?
I'd go into the 80s anymore.
Like the other end of it, and I'm thinking, like, what was the last celebrity death where I was really intrigued by the cause of death? And it was probably somebody like Matthew Perry, who we knew had addiction issues at one time. It was a very mysterious death. He's in his mid-50s or whatever it is, whatever. Like, okay, that I'm clicking on, you know, things like that I'm clicking on. But 91? What are we doing? I don't care. I mean, I care. RIP to Quincy Jones, but I don't care how he died.
It was pancreatic cancer.
Okay.
Does that change anything for you?
Well, it makes me feel a little bad for being insensitive right now. But yeah, like it was probably quick, you know?
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Quincy Jones, he had 2 nearly fatal brain aneurysms in 1974.
Wow.
So
he was probably taken in so many death pools through the years, you know?
It's been 50 years since he had 2 aneurysms. You never would have expected him to make it to the age of 92,
He crushed
good
the
for
over.
Him, man.
You put the, 19, so 1974, that's 50 years ago, so he's 41 at the time. You probably set the over-under back in the 70s for him at like 49 and a half. He killed the over in that, man. He got to 91. He ran up the score.
They had to put a metal plate in his head in 1974, which ensured that he would never play trumpet again.
Wow.
Is that a joke? Or is that I guess.
There's so many things we need to fact check now, you know?
I know.
That sounds like a fact check situation.
It's just left right there in this article, like, of course. Oh, of course, God. Once you've got the metal plate in your head, you can never play the trumpet again. Everybody knows that. I wasn't even going to write it down. I just figured you would assume.
All right. A final segment coming up. This is the weekend I've been looking forward to for a long, long time. 48 straight hours of couch time. Let's go through the journey. Let's stack the weekend for you guys. No Texans football, but there is a lot of stuff that we got to get our takes out on here as we'll talk to the In the Loop guys at the top as we head towards the top of the hour.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Dude, I'm looking at the weekend, and I'm like, we get all this, and then the Texans on Monday? This is badass. And I get to watch all this? This is badass. This is going to be great. Payne and Pendergast with you. Hopefully you get to stack up the weekend and watch some plenty of ball this weekend. There's a lot of good stuff, man. The fact that we now have a good basketball team again, and I'm going to call them that, man. I know it's only 12 games in. Rockets are a good basketball team. I trust Ime Udoka, man. Like, there is something to this team. Like, you can see the direction. You know what I mean? Like, you can see the importance of defense, guys taking it more. Even the guys who are not considered good defensive players, taking both ends of the floor more seriously. Love the guys coming off the bench. It's a deeper team than they have. I'm not going to say it's a deep team yet because I got to see if they're actually good long-term. To be called a deep team, you've got to be a good team as well. Can't just be a deep team of average to below average players. Thus far, they look like a good team, and thus, I feel like they've got a chance to be a deep team. They play the Clippers again tonight. We get Jake Paul and Mike Tyson on one screen, and the Clippers and the Rockets going to town The Rockets going to town on what I'm going to assume is a hungover James Harden for the second game in three nights.
Right, right. He's been in just the way it used to be when he would go to play in L.A., and he just seemed to be... He was a worse version of himself when he went back home.
The numbers prove it, yes.
Yeah, and now he's been back in his second home for several days now. He's a restaurateur, so he would have had to go in and check on what's the name of his restaurant?
13, I think, right?
13,
I think it's
13.
Think it's 13, yeah.
And all the old haunts and places and everything.
The haunts, so I
hope everybody's showing him a really, really, really good time.
Yes, and a lot of really good time. Complimentary beverages. Yes. Yes, please. Not that he can't afford it.
What if Fat Harden showed up? Like, if he was, like, noticeably... His ability to put on and lose weight quickly is really impressive.
No, dude, he could be 15 pounds.
He'd be a great high
heavy.
School wrestler.
He would. Yeah. He would. Or the worst high school wrestler. Like, what'd you do? I ate 10 candy bars. Sorry, I missed weight. So Clippers-Rockets at 7. That'll be good. And then, little bonus, the Cougs are on tonight, too, man, at 9:15. The Cougs are one of the hotter teams in college football right now. They won 3 out of 4, coming off a bye week. Playing in Arizona tonight, so you get a little college.
What time's that? 9:15.
9:15 local time. Yeah.
What time is the Jake Paul Mike Tyson?
Seven.
Fight?
7 o'clock. That's okay. Not the card begins at 7. The card begins at 5:30. 7 o'clock is the actual is supposedly now. You know, boxing and boxing cards can get skewed.
What's the undercard for this fight? Is it like some famous streamer fighting a horse?
I don't know.
Or something?
That's what it should be.
Is it like Andy Kaufman's grandson is
against
wrestling a woman? Whatever.
Screech's brother from Saved by the Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The sitcom stars from the 80s square off.
Right. Okay. Right. 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 Like a cat fight between Joyce DeWitt and Mary Lou Henner from Taxi.
Before we get down to the real business.
The nitty gritty. Yeah.
58-year-old former world champion fighting
Seth.
Streamers who fight MMA fighters.
You know, yeah. Yes. You know how it goes, yeah. So that's just tonight. Then tomorrow, I won't go through all these tomorrow, man, but it is a pretty stacked day of college football. You get UT in Arkansas early at 11 a.m. The Fighting Clint Sterners going against the Longhorns. I'm very excited to watch Coach Prime at 11 a.m. go against the Utah Utes, who got robbed last week against BYU, so we get a little Colorado action early on. That's always
fun.
Who
do you want if Deion, not to take it off of this weekend's matchups,
that's okay.
But if Deion were to go to the NFL, where would you want to see him go?
Cowboys. Yeah, okay. Cowboys. Yeah, it's the old Occam's razor, Seth, right? Like the obvious answer kind of thing.
No, but where do you want to see him go?
I want to see him go to the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
All right.
That's for me. Yeah, that's where do you want to see him go?
You would apply Occam's razor, I mean, or like if you were trying to decide where he's going to go.
Yeah, I was getting
cute. Which we might say Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, I was getting cute.
I want to see him go to the Titans intra-division rivalry and smack talk and everything else.
That would
like
be that. Great. He only goes there if Shador is promised to be drafted as the quarterback there.
He's been leaning into his country roots real hard, Deion has.
Yeah, for
you know, he's like, he says Dern all the time, you know, which that wasn't really his thing back in there. Now he's really trying to lean into like, I'm just a guy from the country.
Yeah.
And I feel like Tennessee could be a good match for him. Then.
I got a nice little root against going here at 2:30. We got Boston College at SMU, we get to watch Bill O'Brien try to be a spoiler. SMU, if they win out, is going to make the college football playoff.
Yeah. I'm into the 12 team. We'll see how it all actually goes and plays out. But I get excited about just teams like SMU. You know, it's not a like, hey, you need 29 twists of fate for SMU to get into the playoffs.
That's right.
It's way more clear cut now.
Winning, they're in. And they're in the ACC. I think there's still a lot of people that don't realize SMU is in the ACC.
Yeah.
So they're with one of the Power Four conferences.
With the ACC, I'm kind of in. That's the most awkward. It's weirder for me, the ACC being one of the remaining power conferences, as it is that, like, trying to figure out, wait a second. Oh, this is a Big Ten matchup between USC and Penn State.
Right.
The ACC's relevance feels even weirder.
Well, in like when you see like Stanford against SMU. And you're like, that's an ACC matchup right there. Like, the Cal-Stanford game is an ACC Atlantic Coast Conference matchup this year.
The ACC to me feels almost like it's in the same level in my brain as the Big East. Which isn't fair, given that obviously some really good teams have come out of the ACC, obviously. But as a whole, I just wanted it to die and go away.
Yeah, and it did not. It expanded and became a homeless shelter for Stanford, Cal, and SMU. LSU, Florida in the middle of the day. Virginia, Notre Dame, a game that only interests me. If you want to watch Ashton Giante, who I think is the best player in college football, Boise State plays at 6 o'clock. Tennessee, Georgia is at 6:30. Georgia's on the outside looking in right now for the playoff, which is a 12-team playoff, does not include a team that's won the national championship two of the last 3 years. So that's fun. Kansas and BYU is a fun game. Then we get to Sunday. And Seth, you and I don't often get Sundays where we get to just sit and watch the NFL. But we get, in the early window, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And in the late window, we get Kansas City and Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I do not need to move from my chair. Forget about the fact that there's other good storyline games in the early window, like, you know, Caleb Williams with the new OC hosting the Green Bay Packers, Indianapolis and the Jets. You know, if we're rooting for maybe a little more distance between, you know, if we're rooting for the Texans to clinch the division before the bye week, mathematically possible, by the way, then we need the Jets to beat the Colts. But man, that you and I get to watch Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the noon window and Kansas City and Buffalo. These are two of the best rivalries in the AFC, and we get them in back-to-back games because we don't have to work till Monday. It's beautiful.
Yeah. You know, the thing about it's interesting about this is, look, obviously the Chiefs have been the team that the Bills have not been able to knock off in the playoffs.
That's right.
And yet Josh Allen has played well against the Chiefs. You know, he's got 16 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions, a QBR of 74, which is well above average. Like, he's played well against the Chiefs. It's a combination of kickers, Stephon Diggs dropping a ball last year, like various other things. But it really doesn't feel like it's as much an obstacle for Josh Allen as it is for the Bills in general, and yet that is the way the story will be written throughout history, as Mike Tyson will tell you. After we're dust, but it still very much matters. The legacy of Josh Allen will be that he could not beat the Chiefs.
We're dust. And the most painful one of all those, the 13-second game. Remember that when they left 13 seconds on the clock for Patrick Mahomes back in the 21 playoffs? And that was, oof, boy. So that'll be a whole lot of fun, man. We get and as the final dessert, we get Rockets and Bulls on Sunday night. It's you know, I was thinking about this the other morning, Seth. It's pretty cool now that the Rockets are good, or at least appear to be good. The Astros, you and Brandy are like this. You watch every Astros game that you can. Yeah. The Rockets are good again, so they're worth watching every night again. In my opinion, I love watching Rocket games when they're good. Texans, you're always going to watch. Like, we when you have a good basketball team and a good baseball team and you throw in a good football team, we're talking like nearly, and you add in the postseason for all those sports, you're talking like 250 nights of your local teams getting excited about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if they add a hockey team into the mix, and who knows?
We're done.
It's going to be overload.
We're toast. And they're good? Oh, man. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they'll be good, Sean.
They'll be good. They're Houston.
Yeah. Quit piling on my unnamed
hockey team.
No plan for a hockey team, all right? They're good. You've never believed in them, and I'm sick of it.
That's true.
You come in here every damn day trying to fight the good fight for the Houston TBDs.
That is true. the undercard is this is a text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. The undercard is the two top female fighters in the business, an epic rematch of an amazing fight. Now I'm excited.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
I'm excited about that.
Just as excited as I ever was now.
Dude, that slap that Tyson landed on Jake Paul was stiff, man.
It was stiff, but Jake Paul wasn't affected by it.
He didn't move. I know. This is affecting my handicap.
I feel like Tyson was maybe just like kind of slap fighting with him a little bit there, not giving it. If he had really tried to put the heel of the hand into it, I think Jake Paul might have suffered more from it.
Someone said the $1 million bet that was placed on Jake Paul was actually Jake Paul betting $1 million on himself. Someone said that on the text line. I don't know if that's true. I feel like that's something Reggie Atatula and John Lopez might know.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, that $1 million is still not. That's not what is saying. That $1 million wasn't what created the heavy skew of the sharps betting on Jake Paul.
No.
Versus everybody else. Right.
Right. No. Yeah. It was just interesting that, I mean, anytime someone places a $1 million bet on anything, it's intriguing. But yeah, there were already a couple $500,000 bets to DraftKings on Jake Paul, who's a pretty heavy favorite in this fight.
The other thing with Jake Paul laying that bet, the video he probably made from it will probably make him $1 million.
He ain't hurting for the milli. No.
Yeah. Like, he's just, I placed that bet. I've got it. My producers work on this, and then there you go. We got $1 million in ad revenue from that.
Yep. Text message. Someone says, how about Deion to the Giants? Would you
prefer? I would like that. I guess the thing that I get, because I got to look at the Deion side of things and then remember, oh, wait, there's a football player involved in all of this, Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, right.
So I think that this is not hating on Shedeur or anything else like that. There's your genuine chance of getting an actually good quarterback when you draft him in the first round these days is about, what, 1 in 6?
Yes.
1 in 7?
If that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I don't fear him going to the Titans, because just probability-wise, yeah, roll in another quarterback. Who cares? Most of these guys suck these days. The meltdown in New York has been ongoing for so long that I don't think it adds anything to my sports viewing life.
Correct.
But whereas Shedeur and Deion in Nashville, twice a year I'd be getting juicy stuff
this
out of
them. This is the same thing you and I were talking about before the 2023 draft or after it, where it's like, oh, this is fun, man. Anthony Richardson and Will Levis in the division with C.J. Stroud. This is Trevor Lawrence. Like, hadn't
I thought
panned
it was
going
to be fun.
No, I did too.
They didn't hold up their end of the bargain.
It was fun on draft night. It just wasn't that fun every day after that. That's all.
Yep.
Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, they are in the loop. They're jumping in with us here as we get ready to hand things off to them. I'll ask you guys the same question that Seth just asked me.
Mm-hmm.
If you could choose for a place for Deion Sanders to go coach in the NFL, if you were to do that, what would you pick? I picked Dallas. Seth picked Tennessee.
Tennessee,
yeah, for all the reasons you just said.
Get him in division.
All the juice that you'd get. That makes those matches. That's sexier than Brian Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to Brian Callahan.
It is. You know what? Another question for you guys. I guess in my mind, I'm still looking at that as a package deal. Shedeur and Deion are going to end up at the same spot.
Yeah.
When that's not, I don't know if Deion actually cares about that or not. I mean, I'm sure he thinks it would be cool, but I guess it's not as, it's a lot harder to pull off and probably unlikely.
That's
to
a
happen.
Big thing. Or if he can actually make it happen, you know, like it is a draft still. I know we've seen it manipulated before.
If it looks like Shedeur is going to go to a team that's like maybe they're picking higher this year, but it's a good organization.
Yeah.
Let's say if the Steelers fell off a cliff, so they're high enough to draft Shedeur. I think Deion would be cool with like, okay, yeah, they're not going to replace Mike Tomlin, and I'm cool with him going there.
Yeah.
Where if it's to Tennessee or someplace like that, he might very well say, well, okay, yeah, we won't fight this as long as I'm his coach.
The question. Who do you prefer? Where would you prefer Deion go?
Does this have to be a realistic one, or can I just drop him in a place?
Where would you? What would you prefer?
Because I'm trying to.
Your genie just showed up and is giving you a lamp with a wish.
If you know me, I'm just trying to find the funniest. Like, what is the funniest dichotomy of place with man?
Okay.
And I'm struggling here. Well, I feel like he'd be like a really interesting fit with the Raiders.
Yeah, I was just thinking Vegas
would be a real fun one. Mm-hmm. I, for some reason, and I guess this would be a possibility, the New York Jets, just because of the large media market and his propensity to give you media type stuff.
Yeah.
Although I do wonder, would that get annoying after a while, getting the Deion quotes all the damn time on national media?
Ain't no way Aaron Rodgers is sticking around, I don't think.
To me, there is a right answer.
There is, okay. Well, as always, John, yes.
There is a right answer.
No less from you.
Deion Sanders coaches the Kansas City Chiefs so he can bench Patrick Mahomes for Shedeur Sanders.
All right.
That would be something.
Other question for you guys. This is a tough one. All right. I'm assuming both of you guys have heard Mike Tyson's interview with the Kid Reporter.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You will hear it again.
Okay. What is the appropriate age to have a conversation about that with somebody else's child? Where, Tyson basically was like, putting his personal feeling and belief that, like, when you're dead and nothing matters and it's all nonsense and you shouldn't worry about what at what age do you feel comfortable talking to somebody else's child at that level to where you feel like, okay, I'm not overstepping boundaries?
And you're saying, like, they have to be under 18, like, not an adult. I would say...
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, I would say high school journalism, 15, 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like having that.
That's where I feel like it's almost, because that's like a topic you'd get into in high school classes
or philosophy
or whatever, you know, and just you could have that conversation where you feel like, okay, these kids have some critical thinking skills and they can start to make decisions on their own.
Except in the modern era, it's it's never too early to learn about nihilism. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's something that we need to just go
it's
ahead.
True. Okay, what's the appropriate age where you're allowed to drop F-bombs?
Well, dropping your nihilism on them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the comment of the
that
parlay.
That poor kid was just like, yes, sir.
I thought she did a great job.
She handled it very well.
She was fantastic. Yeah. You go, Jazzy. Jazzy did a great job, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Seth. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Antibodies to you, not that it matters, because it is true. I do agree with Tyson. I just disagree about what age you should start talking
about. Ultimately, the antibodies don't work. You know?
Yeah, there's nothing Tyson said that I thought was a lie. Just, you know, there's a time and a place.
There is.
You know?
There is.
Yeah. Like, when do you have the Santa Claus discussion? I'm not going to be the one.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking
about. There's a discussion. What are you talking about? How awesome he is?
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
All right. We're done. We are out of time. Seth, I'll see you Monday morning, 6 a.m. Everybody, enjoy this great weekend of football. It's going to be awesome. You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2, an Odyssey station.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.